Hey everybody, this is Pastor James and welcome back to our midweek Bible study. We are still in chapter 14 and we're going to start off today by reading about Jesus feeding the 5,000 people. So buckle up and let's see how far we get today. And let's begin reading in verses 13. We'll read to verse 21, and again we are in Matthew 14. All right, let's read together. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. That evening the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "That isn't necessary. You feed them." "But we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here," he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He looked up toward heaven and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. All right, so here, Jesus has just heard about John the Baptist's death. We read about that last week. And immediately he leaves to be alone. And this was a very common practice for Jesus. There were many times after he ministered to the crowds, or he did significant things, or he received news of some kind, where he would go away and he would isolate himself to pray and basically reboot. You know, a lot of people would think that maybe Jesus is scared in this moment as he hears about John the Baptist's death. But Jesus is not afraid. He's not scared in this moment. There's nothing coming his way that he doesn't know about. And basically, the human aspect of Jesus being present is really important to remember for all of us. You know, so many times we just attribute Jesus to being a deity or being God, rather than being in human flesh, which is what he was. He was both, but he was also very human whenever he was walking on the earth. And so he doesn't go away because he's afraid, but rather he was going away to pray and to focus on what was to come. Jesus knew that his own death was coming, and he would have very much understood that John the Baptist's death would have been preparing the way for his own death to be ushered in a sense. I mean, after all, when you look at the whole purpose of John the Baptist existing, he came to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. He prepared the way for the life of Jesus. He prepared the way for the ministry of Jesus. And now he's preparing the way for the death of Jesus. And John was born first. He was ministering first. And he dies first. And so everything that he was doing was leading up to the point of Jesus following in his steps in a certain way. Now, it's not saying that John was greater than Jesus, but he came to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. That's what he existed for. And in his death, he led in that one last time. And so there were all these pesky crowds. I mean, Jesus is trying to get away. He's wanting to spend some personal time. He's wanting to pray, reboot, just rest. But there were always these pesky crowds that would follow him around, and somehow they always found him. And I don't know about you, but I'm an introvert by nature, and sometimes I just need to be alone for my own mental and emotional health. I just really cherish my alone time. And having people constantly wanting something from me is very difficult and overwhelming. I mean, even this past weekend, we were in the mountains with my wife's family, and I love them very much. They are actually some of the nicest people I've ever been around. But there eventually come this one point on Saturday where I just needed some alone time. And so I snuck down to the basement of the cabin, and I just watched a little bit of TV alone to get away from everybody, because it had overwhelmed me to that point. And like I said, they did nothing to offend me or in any way. It was just I needed that alone time to reboot and that personal time. And I just can't imagine the stress that Jesus was under as he was pursued by so many people who were constantly pawing at him and wanting something from him. And so even though these people were constantly pursuing Jesus, it's very important to realize that he never turned them away because of what they wanted or needed from him. Rather, Jesus had compassion on them. And that's the big thing that you see in this story. is that term, compassion. Jesus suffered for them. He sympathized with them and with their needs, and it moved him to meet their needs, and it moved him to minister to them until the evening when his disciples finally come to him and they say, "Lord, send these people away so that they can go get food. This is a remote area. There's nothing for them to eat here." But instead of sending the people away, Jesus looks at his disciples and he gives this infamous words, "You feed them." And that's one of the craziest things. And so when Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, "No, you feed them," they are at a loss of words. I mean, they simply say, "Lord, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And that's from this little boy who brought them. And most people think that what they have in a certain moment in time, and we're talking about all of us in this moment, we always think that what we have is insignificant, or it's just shy of what we need in order to succeed or do the work of the Lord. But in reality, what Jesus is communicating in this moment is that the only thing that we truly need to honor God is our faith in Jesus Christ. To understand that through Jesus Christ, all things are possible. And to us, 5 loaves and 2 fish are not enough to feed 20 people, much less 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. But with Jesus, the laws of nature do not apply. Anything is possible beyond our understanding of what is normal or what we think is possible. The disciples in this moment could not see past what was normal or possible in this moment, even though they had seen Jesus perform countless miracles leading up to this time. It had never crossed their minds that Jesus could multiply food and feed thousands of people with what they thought was an insignificant amount of food. Therefore, it never occurred to them to even think that it was possible. But again, if we are believers in Jesus Christ today, we are believers that all things are possible with and through Jesus Christ. Circumstances are not what define God, but God is the one who defines the circumstances. It is easier to have faith when we understand how God can provide than it is when we have no idea how He's going to provide. Our faith is stretched and proven when we have it, when we are completely blind as to how God will work and move. And in this moment, Jesus proved once again why He could be trusted as the Messiah. He looked to heaven and He gave thanks and He blessed the food and He began breaking it to give to the people. And what an amazing experience it would be to witness this event. What a testimony it would be to eat the food that was multiplied by the Messiah, the very Son of God. And what a foresight it would have been to see this and to think about Jesus breaking the bread at the Last Supper, which foreshadowed His body being broken and eventually brought about His death on this earth. You know, the cool thing about this story is that Jesus is feeding God's people, the Israelites. You know, Matthew is writing this gospel to the Israelite people, trying to convince them that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. So how appropriate is it to include the story of another miracle? How appropriate is it to include a story where Jesus provides food like God provided food for the wandering Israelites in the wilderness during the time of Moses? How appropriate is it that there are 12 baskets of food left over after they gathered everything up after this miraculous feast, and there was 12 tribes of Israel and there were 12 disciples there ministering with Jesus that day, and yet when everything is said and done, there's these 12 baskets of leftovers, showing that God not only has enough to supply our needs in the moment, but He has enough to supply our needs and then have ample amounts of leftovers to represent the 12 tribes of people and the 12 disciples after everything is said and done. What an amazing thing to see and to experience. And just the fact that this story is recorded in all 4 Gospels. You know, when you read all 4 Gospels, there's a lot of things that you find in all 4 of them. But there's very few stories like this that are included in all 4. But this is one that was included in all 4 Gospels. This would have definitely been one of the most memorable experiences, one of the most incredible miracles that happened during the time that the disciples spent with Christ. 5,000 men recorded to have received food. Now, this was not counting the women and children, so a lot of biblical scholars believe that there could have been somewhere between 15 to 20,000 people that were fed on this day, including the women and children who were sitting there listening to the teachings of Jesus, experiencing this miracle as they were all eating this multiplied bread. And the experience of explaining, where do you get something from nothing? You know, it's one thing for something to grow or something to appear or God to heal someone, but where do you get something from nothing? And only God can produce something from nothing. Only God has that power. So Jesus in this moment feeds a very significant portion of the people of Israel. And in doing so, he displays his godlike abilities of being able to bring about food from nothing. It would have definitely been an experience that these people would remember for their entire lives. And so as we close out today, this is a really short passage and a short Bible study. But as we close out today, I just want to challenge you in your life right now. What is it in your life that seems beyond your ability to manage or to see how God could work and move? You know, there's been so many times in my life that I've been faced with situations and circumstances that I had no idea how God was going to work and move in this in order to bring about His will, in order to bring good, in order to do anything beneficial. And it's in those moments and times where God has revealed to me His power more in those situations than any other. And don't get me wrong, there's been times where because of an experience that I have with God in the past, it has assured me that what is going on now will be answered or God will be faithful and take care of it in this time. But it's the moments where we can't see beyond our situation and circumstances that bring about the most doubt and fear. It's when our faith is truly, truly tested. And so for you today, to have the ability to have faith, even when you can't see or understand what is going on, how God could even possibly do anything in this situation or circumstances, that is the time where we need to have the most faith to rely on God. Don't be afraid to step out on faith today and trust God, even though you can't see how He's going to work and move, even though you can't possibly understand how He could affect or use the situations and circumstances in your life to do a miracle. Have faith in God. Trust in Him today. Realize that He wants to do these amazing things in your life, but you have to believe in order for it to happen. All right? Let me pray for you today. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the opportunity to be called your children. I pray, Lord, that you would watch over us and protect us. Help us to be your servants and to live for you in all things. Help us to have faith, even when we don't know how to have faith, to just step out and trust in you despite our instincts or despite what we can see or despite what we can understand. Lord, to believe in you, to know that you can do anything, even if it doesn't seem possible. Lord, you are God, and through Jesus Christ, all things are possible. We love you, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in for another week. I hope you enjoyed our short study today, and I look forward to being back with you next week as it's Thanksgiving week. And we hope to see you this Sunday in services. If not, catch us on Facebook and YouTube. We love you. We're praying for you, and we'll talk to you later.